Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Chulin Daf Ayin Hey. We begin on Ayin Hey Aleph, all the way on top. Man Tana, Avar Benar. So this relates back to yesterday. We had a story about a Ben Pekua, right? That's the, was a fully developed, 9-month, full term, unborn animal discovered within the mother animal post shechita of the mother. What happens to that ben pekua? Does it require shechita or not? So according to Rabbi Meir, yeah, it requires shechita because it's its own thing, fully developed, full term, too late to be covered by the mother's shechita. Whereas according to the Rabbanan in the Mishnah of yesterday, even this fully developed unborn animal is covered, is accommodated by the shechita of the mother animal, and it's mutar ba'achila. Now listen to this. We had a braisa that this bet pekua, which is mutar ba'achila, is considered so much a piece of his mother's flesh that he's mekabel tuma. Imagine a live animal running around, and if you touch it with something which is tummy, that animal becomes tummy like a piece of flesh, like any other oichel. In fact, we had a braisa which described the process. First, it needs to go through hechsher, right? It has to get wet, has to go through the pool, and then it goes into the beis hakvareis, the cemetery, becomes tummy, which is startling halacha. You have a live animal becoming tummy. Typically, live things don't become tummy except for yidden, right? Yisrael, but lahavdil a goy or a behema, right? There's no tuma by michaim. Says the Gemara. So, in fact, who's the author of this halacha, of this wondrous halacha, Man Tana? Who's the Tana that dictated the halacha that we had yesterday, Avar Banar? So this Ben Pekua takes a walk through the river, Huchshar. That exposure to liquid makes it Hechshar, makes it Huchshar l'kabotum, susceptible to tuma. After which, if halacha beis akvaris, he walks through a cemetery, Nitzma becomes Tame. Who's speaking in this price? Amar Biechana, it's not so simple. Meaning, even something which does not require its own shechita, as per the shechita of the Rabbanon, that it's covered by the mother shechita, you can eat it without shechita, but to the extent that it's a piece of meat, that it's just open to tumma, that's a very specific opinion. Amar Biechanan, it's Rabbi Yisi Aglili. It's his opinion only. The Sanya, and soon we're going to find that there's actually another, there's Bishamai, who likewise hold tumma would apply in this type of case. Rabbi Yisi Aglili, he desanya. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Eimer, he quotes Mishum Rabbi Yisi Aglili. Mitam, mitumas oichlam. It's a rech hechsher. That in fact, this ben pekua, after he experiences hechsher, exposure to liquid, he's considered like any other food item that had hechsher and can become tamei. V'chacham Eimer, no. Eina mitam, mitumas oichlam. There's no tumas oichlam. Tumas Oichla needs to be a piece of meat. This is a live thing. After all, he's living. Physically, he's living, right? Even though halachically, he's considered shechted. By the way, perhaps, to better understand the idea of Ben Pekua, while he's inside, his umbilical cord, he's still connected. He's still, sustaining from the mother. Even if he's fully developed. So the shechita on the mother, which terminates the life force of the mother, you can understand even medically and scientifically that the trauma impacts and somewhat has a termination effect on the unborn as well. So this whole idea of Ben Pekua isn't just like an abstract, halachic concept that the act of shechita apply. Even on a medical sense, in a biological sense, you can understand that there's some effect on the unborn as well. Okay, in any case, that's regarding achila. But regarding tuma, he's live. He's running around alive. A living being, you can't become tamei. But Rabbi Yisi Aglili disagrees. He says, once it's considered halachically dead, the fact that it does not require shechita and allows you to eat it outright classifies it as oichel regarding all matters. In fact, here comes another corroborating shechita regarding fish, which likewise don't require shechita. They're not lacking shechita. You just pick them out of the water, detach them from their life source. And there's a shechita beishamay, which say, at that point, even though it's still fluttering, it has life to it, you can still throw it back in and revive it. But at that point, it's classified as food. And in fact, these two shechitas match, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Va'azda, Rabbi Yochanan, tamei Rabbi Yochanan. Who has this perspective? That in a case where no shechita is required, only according to some shechitas, it's classified to the extent that it's really food, regarding tumah as well. V'az Rabbi Yochanan tamei, he's consistent with his statement stated elsewhere. Dam Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yisak Lili, which is the shechita we just mentioned. U'beisham, and likewise beisham, they're both on the same track. That something which is, despite the fact that it's presenting life, it's running around alive, but since it does not require shechita, well, in the case of ben pekuah because it was covered by the mother shechita, in the case of fish coming up because it was pulled out of the water, and fish in general don't need shechita, so it's sort of detached at this point. That's all it needs. It's considered classified like food, and it's makabel tum. Rabbi Sagli, Beshamay Amr Davar Echad. Rabbi Sagli Hadamar. Rabbi Sagli, we just mentioned a minute ago. Beshamay, where is that? It's non dogim. Fish. Meimasa mekabel tum. At what point can tumah be activated upon them? So while they're fish in the water, they're alive beings. They're connected to their life source. They're immune to tumah. But at what point does that change? Beshamay Oimer Mishiyitzaydu. Once they're trapped out of the water. They're not classified as food, despite the fact that they're presenting life. You know, the Tiferes Shaul writes, you know, you can have something, listen to this, you can have something that becomes tummy, and you can undo that tumma even without doing much to it, such as these fish. Pull them out of the water, touch something which is tummy, it becomes tummy. Says the Tiferes Yisrael, what if you toss it back into the water, reconnect it to its life source, it loses its tumma. It's back home, fully alive. Very unique scenario, very unique situation. So we ask somebody a riddle. Give me something that becomes tummy and then undoes its tumma just like that. Fish, out of the water, back in the water. Not so quick. Mashiach Musa would have to actually die to be mekabel tumah. Rabbi Akiva Omer, he says, sort of in between. Once it gets to the point of no return, at the point where he can no longer live, what's the difference here? Meaning, what's Rabbi Akiva's case? Rabbi Yochanan dag mekarteya, you have a fluttering fish. And Rashi explains it's somewhat already dried in a critical area, so it can't revive. You can be now. That will be the point of difference. According to Rabbi Akiva, that is sufficient to deem it food. According to Beis Hillel, it needs to be fully lifeless. Speaking about fish, which do not require shechita, right? What if the fish turns into a treifa, an animal which requires shechita? So we know, based on our extensive learning, that if there's any serious deficiency, a punctured intestine, a punctured lung, the animal's life force has sort of been interfered with and somewhat terminated by an interfering entity, an injury, a wound. In lieu of shechita, that renders it inedible. But a fish which never needs shechita to begin with, perhaps. What happens when it comes to treifa? Perhaps it's not going to impact it at all. Perhaps it will. It's considered slated for misa, and again, it has a din of tumah, like food. But Rav Chizkiya, no, the b'dogim simanei treifa ma. What if the fish exhibited signs of treifa? Its intestines got punctured. Is it considered on its way to death and it's makabel tumah? Rashi says we're going like a Rakiva, who says once you get to the point of no return, a serious injury slated for misa, it's already considered food or not? Simanei treifa ma. Now, tiboy lamanda ama treifa chaya. This question could be posed according to the opinion that says that by a treifa animal, it can still live for a long time. Tiboy lamanda ama treifa eina chaya. On the other end, this can be posed according to the opinion that by a treifa animal, it will not live for very long. Very short lifespan, 30 days, 12 months. Meaning, this question regarding a trefa fish can apply whether you hold that by a trefa animal, it can live for a long time. Yeah, maybe that's by an animal which is more durable, than a fish, an animal which has a greater level of vitality, of life. So it could survive, it could, you know, manage. But by fish, where their life force is very minimal, very flimsy. So perhaps, loy, in this case, all agree. Once it has this trefa injury, it's considered like misa. Idilma, on the other hand, even according to the opinion that by an animal trefa, it has a very short lifespan, and therefore, it is considered like on the verge of death. Ha'ani mila behema. Perhaps that's limited to a behemoth. The age would be in a shechita, where shechita is required. So it's like almost the higher you are, the stronger you fall, right? So if you need shechita, and instead you got this, you know, the animal got this severe injury, that interferes. I will dog him, but by fish, where they're never required to have shechita. The ain't be mina shechita. There's no shechita in this type of being, this type of creature. So it wasn't like he became a trefa which terminated his life force to the extent that interferes with the shechita. There is no shechita requirement to begin with, so perhaps the trefa phenomenon doesn't play a role here. Amalei, perhaps it doesn't play a role. Take it, we'll leave it unresolved. Okay, now back to animals. So you have the ben pekuah. Okay, go back to unborn, discovered within the mother animal. Now this gemara we're going to speak where the mother animal was not yet shechted. Because if it was, then anything inside it is covered. It's mutar b'achila. According to Chachamim, even if it's full term, right? And the chelev is mutar, right? Because it's just all one big mush, one chunk of meat within the mother. And the following gemara we're going to speak that there was no shechita done on the mother. Hitila nefala gave birth to a miscarriage. So it was undeveloped. Let's call it an 8 month versus a 9 month. What happens to the chelev of this nafel, of this undeveloped fetus? So certainly you can't shecht it. We learned this in the Mishnah. It's an 8 month, doesn't qualify as an animal. You can't do shechita, you can't eat it. But what about the chelev within it? Do we say it's a chelev of a behemah? Chelev of a behemah is asr. Chelev of a chaya is mutter. What is this undeveloped nafel? Does he qualify as behemah or not? Itil nafel. We have a machlekes. Rabbi Yechon Amar. Yeah, chelva, his fat is kechelev behemah. Like any chelev of behemah. If one eats it, this covers. Rabbi Shimon Malachi Shamar says, no, this is as yet an undeveloped being. He's not going to be classified as a behemoth, in which case the chelev within it is just a conglomerate of you know, mass. It's not a chelev. That's asur. Rabbi Shimon Malachi Shamar, chelev chaya. So just point, as a point of reference, he's calling it like chelav chaya. Means to say that just like the chelav of a chaya, of a deer, is mutar, the same with this chelav. Rabbi Yechon Amar, let me explain why chelav ke chelav behema. Why is it us? Aviru garam. The air, the exposure to the outside, once it was born, is out of the mother, makes it a behema. Rabbi Shimon Logish Amar, chelav ke chelav chaya. He says it's permissible to eat this chelav. You know why? Although he was born, so to speak, b'chadoshim garmi. You need the development aspect, the chadashim, the months, to render it a full-fledged being. Otherwise, he's not a behemoth. He's just a mass of, you know, of mass. Igadam is another version of this machlekes. So according to the first version, Rabbi Yechon requires avir, that's enough, even without chadashim. Whereas Rish Lakish says, no, that's not enough, you need chadashim as well. Igadam is another version of this machlek. In a case where it's not fully developed, it's an 8 month fetus, all agree it's not going to qualify as behema. May behema. question is, in a case where you have a full term fetus inside, but he hasn't yet been born, so you have the development, you have the chadashim without the avir. He stuck his hand in and detached a piece of chalev from that 9-month fetus. Maybe he stuck his hand into the mother animal. He ripped off a piece of the chalev of this 9-month and he ate. So you have the chadashim, you have the development aspect without the exposure. It wasn't yet born. Rabbi Yechon Amar, chalev kelev beima. It's also like a beima. Chadashim garmi. The chadashim factor alone is sufficient to give it status. Rabbi Shimon Lagash Amar, no. We need both elements, development and exposure and being born. Rabbi Shimon Lagash Amar, chalev kelev chaya. It's more like a chalev chaya. Chadashim ve'avira garmi. You need the months and the years. Development and exposure. So again, if it's been discovered within a shechted animal's belly, of course it's covered. He was speaking that it wasn't shechted. The mother wasn't shechted, right? And there was a miscarriage, or he got it from the inside. Hence the machlekes. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, even this is considered chalev, and its own identity. It's chalev. Even within the mother, it's chalev. Again, if the mother had shechita, then we have a pasuk called babahima. It's included in the mother's entity. We don't regard it as a separate entity. It's not chalev. It's just part of the mass. It's mutter. Part of the general flesh mass. It's not considered, you know, chalev of a behema, because the unborn is sort of just part of the mother's flesh mass. But in this case, where the mother animal was not yet shechted, such a bechon, you can't eat the chalev. Because after all, it's classified as chalev, a chalev of behema. You have a fully developed fetus in there. Eisvir, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Such a bechon, I have a question on you, Rish Lakish. I'll bring you a proof from a price that gives the notion that this type of chalev, of a shalil, of an unborn fetus, is classified as chalev. So again, although I agree that if it was discovered within the slaughtered mother's entity, it would be mutter. There's a special pasuk that it's mutter, but in terms of classification, it's classified as chalev. Let's say regarding bimakrav on a mizbeach, the chalev of a carbon goes on a mizbeach. It should have that option. And that's why in the following brayso, we need a pasuk to say, no, you can't put it on the mizbeach. Otherwise, I would think you could, because after all, it's classified as chalev, which parallels my opinion, my viewpoint. But according to your viewpoint, that this is not even classified as chalev. It's just part of the general flesh mass. So why does the pasuk have to rule it out regarding putting on the mizbeach? It's not chalev. It doesn't belong there. Okay, that's the brayso. Ma chalev ashtei akloyis. Hamuris ba'asham. So the pasuk there is an extra pasuk. It mentions asham. What's the point of asham? Asham is always going to be a male korban. So just like by the asham, the chalev, the shtei akleis, the fat, the kidneys, are limited to the father animal. He has no offspring. He's a male. Mutza mechlal shlul doesn't apply to a shlut, an unborn. It's not relevant. Afkol, likewise, by other animals, other korbanos like a shlamim, which theoretically can come as female and can have offspring, can have unborn found inside, but the chalev of that unborn doesn't qualify, cannot be put on the mizbeach. Av kol, likewise, other korbanos, mutza mechal shlil is exempted from the shlil. The chalev of the shlil doesn't qualify as chalev for a korban. So we need the fact that we need a special pasuk, doesn't that indicate that otherwise I would consider it chalev, which parallels my understanding of this unborn animal's chalev? So certainly according to my opinion, the chalev of an unborn is classified as chalev. Hayna de istrich prolem ute. That explains why the pasuk has to go and rule it out, lest I think otherwise. Elo didach am I istrich kro? According to you, it's anyways not chalev. Why would the pasuk have to rule it out from the mizbeach? Amalei says, guess what? I'm coming from right here. I'm learning from this pasuk that it's not regarded as chalev. I'm coming. This is my source. Time and day. My opinion. Nami also mihach. It's coming from right here. Right on. You could. There's another version of this machlekes, of this back and forth. It was a question posed by Rish Lakish, actually, against Rabbi Yechon, Esrei, Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Rabbi Yechonan, from this very Braisa. So basically, the pasuk is ruling out the chelav of a shlila from the mizbeach. So Mishlam, according to me, it works out very well. That explains why the pasuk rules it out. This qualifies it because it's not classified as chelav. According to your understanding, why not put it on the mizbeach? It's regular chelav. Amalei says, yeah, it is, but it's still not regular. You can have a perfect sheep, but if it's too young, let's say less than 7 days, you can't bring it on Mizbeach. So sometimes prematurity can be, interfering factor at play. So although this chelev inside is technically chelev, but it's not good for the Mizbeach. Amar Rabbi Ami, here comes another interesting scenario. Hashechet satreifa, mother animal that contained this full-term 9-month fetus inside of it happened to be a treifa. Now we know that shechita on a treifa will not permit it for consumption, but will spear it from tumah, as per the mission a couple of days ago. Hashechet satreifa, this shechita on the treifa, a mother animal, matzah b'men teschein, discovered this full-term inside, which typically would be covered by the mother shechita if it was a proper shechita, but in this case it wasn't a proper shechita, it was only a partial shechita, it only accomplished something. Spears it from tumah, but not, does not render it edible. So what happens to this ben pekua? Nishtahi, nishtaher. He doesn't really, can't really tap into the mother shechita, which is not a full shechita. So now, l'divra ha'oyser. Okay, so let's go back to basics. We have a machlekes, right? Full term ben pekua, what happens? Rabbi Meir says, oser, you have to shecht it anew. It's not covered by the mother shechita. L'divra ha'oyser, according to that opinion, matter. It's perfectly fine if it has its own shechita. So the mother's, partial shechita, so to speak, was not detrimental to the pempekuo, who was his own guy. L'divrei ha-matir, however, according to the Chacham, that the mother's shechita typically covers the pempekuo. Problem is, in this case, the mother's shechita was not a fully successful shechita because it was done on a treifa. Oyser! You can't eat the pempekuo. And you can't do another shechita on the ben pekua. He doesn't require shechita. Shechita is not relevant to him. Rav Amar says no. Even with divrei hamater, according to the chachamim, who typically consider the ben pekua covered by the mother, so although in this case the mother shechita was not what you would call a successful shechita, nami mutter, the ben pekua can be mutter through his own shechita, because the mother shechita does not preclude doing shechita on the ben pekua. We had this the other day. Dalet simonim. It's an expression. It's like you would have four tubes. Achshav berachmona Torah allows, meaning you have two options. You can do shechita on the mother's two simonim or on the ben pekua's two simonim. If one doesn't work, you do the other one, such as in this case. Amar v'chist. Further on this case, hashechet es hatreifa. Okay, again. Umotzeh b'ben teschai. Same story. We turn to Amud Beis. Ton shechita, so you have to do shechita on the ben pekua, as we explained. V'chayav bezroya, v'luchayayim v'akeva, and of course it's a proper shechita on the ben pekua. You treat it like any other, and you have to give the kayin what he deserves, the arm, the luchayayim, the keva, like any other shechita. And here comes the surprising fact. V'yimeis, now if the ben pekua happened to die before shechita, not to worry, Torah will tell me. He's not going to be Matami, but Masa, if you pick it up, you're not telling me. This seems like a straight-out contradiction. Amalei Rav, as Rav responds to Rav Chizda, how do you reconcile both sides of your statement? Here you say, Ton Shechita. That the Ben Pekua needs its own Shechita, presumably like Rav Meir. The more at this point is thinking that we're going like Rav Meir, Kamanka Rav Meir, who says that ben pekua in this state is not covered by the mother for this full term. Then you say v'yemeis, but if he died before shechita, don't worry. Tarmel atami v'mas, he's not going to be matami. He's not a tumah generator, which sounds like Kaman, like you and the Karabanan who say that the ben pekua does not need shechita at all. So he's already shechted by the mother, so he's not going to be an avail if he dies. Straight out contradiction within your own statement. So he says, v'tamech, according to you, how are you going to explain Rav Chiya's brice? Hadatan Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya is almost word for word. Hashakel Satreifa, Matzah Beben Teschai, Ton Shchita, word for word, V'chai B'sroya, V'chayim V'akeva, V'meis Torah Melatam, B'masa. Exactly as I said, how are you going to stand that price? Because on the one hand he's saying Ton Shchita, the Rebbe Kor needs his own Shchita, that seems like Rameir, come on, Rameir. And then you say V'meis, but even if he dies without Shchita, not to worry. He's already shechted through his mother. Torah Melatam B'masa, there's no Tumas Masa, that's Kerabona, sounds like the Rabona speaking. So how would you understand that? Oh, he says, okay, I can figure that out. Look, Hala Kasha, here's an answer. Rav Chia meant, Im Kvar Matzah Meis Ka'amar. He's going like Rav Meir, a full-term Ben Pekua, needs his own Shechita. When he says that if he dies, he's okay. He meant to say if he was discovered lifeless within the mother. He hadn't been born yet. So in that case, even Rav Meir agrees, right? Any lifeless ubar in the mother, irrespective of his development stage, is covered by the mother shchita. Imatzeh and kvar matzeh meis kama, he meant he already found meis in the mother. So Rechia's statement is very easy to understand. El dedach kashi, but your statement I don't understand. When you say the Ben Pekur needs shchita, that sounds like Rameir. Then when you say when he dies, don't worry, that sounds like the Rabban, he's very shechta. Amarle, he says, guess what? Let me explain to you what I meant. I'm going like the Rabbanan. Full-term Ben Pekur is covered by the mother. But you have an option of doing his own shkita, like we said before. Amarle, didigle and amarle kasha. I can fully understand. I can fully explain what I said too. Dalid simanim ach shavei rachmana. You can shecht two different ways. You can shecht to the mother, you can shecht to himself. So although he's not required to have shechita, because once the mother was shechted, he's covered, but if he decides, he chooses to do shechita on the Ben Pekua. You can do so. Right, so in this case, where the, right, let's go back to the beginning. The case was it was a treifa, right? Mother was a treifa. So in this case, it doesn't really permit the Ben Pekua. So what do? You quickly grab a knife and you do a shechita on the Ben Pekua. So despite the fact that he already experienced somewhat of shechita through the mother, that's not going to interfere. It's not going to inhibit you from doing another shechita on the actual Ben Pekua. And once you do it, the Ben Pekua is mutter, and we treat it like any other shechita. Okay, so we had an interesting chiddush today. A full-term Ben Pekua, according to Rav Meir, is not covered by the mother shechita. According to Rabbanan, it can be covered. That's one option. Another option is you can do shechita on the Uber itself, if you choose to do so. In fact, there was a story, Kisolok Rab Zera. When Rab Zera traveled up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashechei, some change it to Rabbi Asi. Rabbi Asi meets up with Rab Zera and hears him speaking. The Yosef Akami is sitting and saying over, Leila Hashmaita. It's all back and forth between Rav Chizda's, you know, statement, Rabbi's challenge, back and forth, and the conclusion that there was, you know, two Shechita options. Amr Leiser of Asi turned to Rav Zera, Yishar, right on, like Yashar Koyach, right? V'chein Amr B'yechon, in fact, B'yechon also aligns himself with that thinking that there are four simanim, there are two options of shechit. Now, the fact that he's quoting Rav B'yechon, does that indicate that there was a difference of opinion, that perhaps Rish Lakish, who very often challenged Rav B'yechon, in fact, disagreed with him on this concept? That was Rav Zera's question back. Mechlal the Palagalir of Shimon Malakish, do you mean that Rav Shlakish disagreed? So Rav Asi says, I'm not sure, because I was in the Beis Medrash, you know, when Rabbi Yechon and Rav Shlakish were there and discussing it, but I walked out, and I'm not sure if he responded. Mishha havashohele vishasikle. Rashi says it was Rav Shlakish's practice to, you know, remain silent for a while. After, you know, Rabbi Yechon said his thing, he would just listen and, you know, wait him out, hoping that perhaps he would change his mind before he has to, you know, take him on and challenge him. So Rav Asi says, I left the Beis Medrash, you know, in that interim time, and I'm not sure if ultimately he turned around and argued with him. Some say that it turns out Rish Lakish was having a drink at that point in Beis Medrash. Hence his silence. I'm not sure what happened afterwards. Okay, so we're not sure if there was a dissenting view. Back to the Mishnah. Full turn Ben Pakur, discovered in the mother after Shechita. Tanakama says not to worry, it's covered. Likewise, Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, even if he's 5 years old, big husky animal, running around the field, no worries. Now, isn't that exactly what the Tanakama is saying? Hayna Tanakama, any difference between Tanakama, who permits the Ben Pakur, and the Rabbi Shimon Shazuri? Amar Rav Kahana, there's a difference. Hifras al gabe karka, suppose the Ben Pakur was born. Hifras means he took a step on the floor. Now, that would be the difference over here. According to Tanakamo, even though he's covered by the mother, but midrabbanan, rabbinically, we're concerned about appearance, about misunderstandings, and misconceptions. People see an animal running around just being eaten like that without shechita. It'll confuse things. So once it's out in the on the ground, you got to treat it like any other animal. Do shechita midrabbanan. Shimon Shazuri says no. Perhaps he says, you know, he feels that it's noted and people will realize, and even if it's old and running around, you can do without shechita. Amar Rav Mishar Shia. There's a difference of opinion whether we reckon with the father animal's contribution to the offspring. If you say that, we do reckon with him. So what happens if it's a ben pakur, a male ben pakur, who does not need shechita, a baal behemah malasa, who got involved with a regular female animal, who needs shechita? What happens to the offspring? What's the status of the offspring? So from his mother's side, he needs shechita. From his father's side, he does not need shechita. He's sort of in limbo. Havla, this offspring is stuck. Ein atakana, there's no remedy. Because it's like he's half shechted. Half shechted 2 years ago by the father, and now he needs the other half. And you can't, actually says, you can't make such a big pause between the two tubes. So he's up, he's in limbo. You can't shecht him, you cannot shecht him. Amar Abaye, you know, Yaakov Moedim, even those that are concerned about Marisa Ayin and don't want to permit just a regular Ben Pakur that's running around without Shechita, lest people get confused. But if it's something really abnormal, something outstanding, something which stands out and just people take note of it, in that case, people will be mindful that, in fact, this is a Ben Pakur. And we'll realize why you're eating it without shechita, and there's no room for confusion. I'll call Moedim, Arba'i, I'll call Moedim, all agree, but call it Ben Pakur. If it's a Ben Pakur, that's also cleft at his hooves are unsplit, which is something unusual by a cow, by a sheep. But call it Ben Pakur, Shemutar. In this case, you can eat him without shechita even later on. My time of why? Call most of the Tmiya, something which is wondrous and abnormal and strange. Mitkar dechir lo inshi, people are mindful of it, and they'll realize, oh yeah, this is a strange animal, this is a Ben Pakur, I understand why they're eating it without shechita. Because Amri, some say you need a double abnormality. One is not enough. All agree, but call it Ben Pakur. If he's a cleft of the son of a cleft of Ben Pakur, then it's okay, Shemutar, it's mutter later on, my time, and why? To me, when there's a double wonderment, mitchar, the chirinchi, people will take notice. Amar Abaye. And remember, Amar Abaye. Sorry, Amar Ziri. Amar Abchanina, Halacha B'Shimon Shazuri. So regarding this general question, how far do we take the Ben Pakur Heter? Is it only if it's still in the mother's stomach and it's just being taken out like that? Or even if it's actually been born and running around? According to Tanakama, once he gets up on his legs, Amar Da Parsoisav, too late. According to Rav Shimon Shazuri, even if he's standing on his own feet, he's a Ben Pakur, it's mutter. How do we paskin? Amar Ziri, Amar Chanina, Halacha. We paskin Rav Shimon Shazuri that it's okay. V'chein haya. Rav Shimon Shazuri, mater. Rav Shimon Shazuri would extend the heter and permit consumption without shechita of a fully mature, fully grown Ben Pakur, all the way down the generations. Not only the original Ben Pakur, even his offspring, and his offspring's offspring. Even though it's so far from the original. Because he's part of the Ben Pakur lineage. He doesn't need, does not need shechita. Rabbi Eichon Amar, no, that's going too far. Who mutar? Even according to Shimon Shazuri, only the original one is okay. Presumably people realize why, but Ubnai Asr, the next generation is Asr. We had a story of Adar Bar Chavu, who owned an animal, Havel Ben Pekor, he had a Ben Pekor in his, you know, herd. The Nafal Duba or Diba, a wolf, attacked it, Alei, and punctured its internal organs, made it a treifa. Now, a treifa is only a concern by a regular, a typical animal, where shechita is required, and that's the exclusive, you know, mode of life termination, which is halachically permissible, versus if it's injured and rendered lifeless or partially lifeless by the treifa experience, that's an interfering factor that makes it usher. But by a ben peko, which does not require shechita to begin with, so the treifa experience does not render it usher. Interesting, right? It's like a piece of meat. So that's what happened. Also, coming to Rav Ashi, so the only came to Rav Ashi. Amul Izil Shachti, he says, quickly shachted. Again, Min HaTorah, there's no shechita by Ben Pekor, but Rabbanon, we need shechita because it's already, you know, walking around. And interestingly, even though in this case it's already a treifa, what good is shechita on a treifa? Yeah, typically it's not. Here it doesn't really require shechita Min HaTorah. It's just for appearance's sake. In order to address the appearance concern, it will be sufficient to do shechita even on a treifa. Interesting. So now people see it's shachted, geshachted, and it's okay. Amar leis, he says, why bother with shechita? Ha'amar ziri, amar b'chanina, we paskin like halakha b'shem shazuri. Even if it's fully grown, running around, it's a ben pekua. Don't eat shechita. V'chein ha'yar b'shem shazuri matar, he would allow even further down. The offspring, the grandchildren of the Ben Pekor, the Bnoi, Ben Bnei, Asif Ladoris, until way down the line. I feel Rabbi Yechon like Amar al Bnoi, even Rabbi Yechon limited it to the Bnoi, to the first generation of Ihu Loi, but the original Ben Pekor, he's free without Shechita. Amar Lais, he says, no, it's not so simple. Even Rabbi Yechon didn't really adopt this lenient opinion of Rav Shimon Shazuri. He was just explaining how far Rav Shimon Shazuri takes it. Rabbi Yechon Divrei, Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Ka'amar, he's just elaborating Rabbi Shimon Shazuri's opinion, but he himself concurred with the other shita. Then, in this case, there's a problem of Maris Ha'ayin, we don't just eat it without shechita. Ask the Gemara, Amar Ravin Barachanina, Amar Ula, Amar Barachanina, Halacha Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. So we do pass on Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, and furthermore, Elo Kol Mokim Shishana. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri is saying, wherever you find this opinion, this Tana now Mishnayis, wherever it is, Halkamais, we pass on like that Shita. So why is this different? Amar Leis, he says, I have a different view regarding when we pass on like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. Anoki Hasfirli, I pass on, I have a different perspective, Damar Rabbi Yenison, that in very select cases, Halach Rabbi Shimon Shazuri in two cases, Mesukun, a case of Mesukun, Ubitrumas finds a Shotmai coming up in a second. So only in those cases we pass on like him, but not in the case of Ben Pekua or otherwise. Hence, Shechita is required. What are these two cases? Okay, briefly, Mesukun means a fellow who is dangerously ill, the Snan, we have a Mishnah, but I remember initially they would say, Hayetza Bekoil, the person being carried out by chains, by, you know, by the authorities. Shenashayev Misa, Rashi says, for capital punishment. And he quickly calls out instructions, write a get for the wife. V'omar, he says, kiss me at least, write a get for my wife. But he failed to instruct him to give it, to deliver it, which is very important. Don't worry, Ariel Yichtu Vietnu, just write it and give it. That's what he meant. So we interpret it as such. Chazulayma, and then they came and they added more cases of people that are preoccupied and haphazard, often a farish, a person on the way out to the to sea, by Yisrael B'Shayr on his way out with the caravan. So, since he's in an unsettled frame of mind, he failed to express himself articulately, but he meant to say, write and deliver. Shem Shazuri Aymi adds one more point, often a sukkah, a person is dangerously ill, same story. So we pass him like that. And the second case was Trumas Maser Shel Dmai. So Dmai is produce purchased from an unlearned fellow who may or may not have fulfilled his Truma and Maser obligation, separating the parts that belong to the Kohen. So there's a Din Midah Rabbanan, we require to do it just in case. And let's say you did separate Trumas Maser of the Dmai. And then, whoop, it fell back into the basket. Now you have a problem, you have a mix between something which is forbidden for ordinary person, other than a Kohen, and you have the rest, which is regular food. So you're invalidating everything that can cause you great loss. So the question is, can I go back to the Yam HaAretz just this time and ask him, you know, do me a favor, my good friend, tell me the truth. Was the material kosher? Did you do the Trumas Maser already, in which case this one was redundant and it just you can just ignore it? Or not? It's not. The Mishnah says you could, because we're speaking about a case of potential loss. Trumas Maser Shel Dmai. So the purchaser separated Trumas Maser of this Dmai material. It's called Dmai. Dmai stands for Dmai. What is this? It's undefined, status unknown. So he separated and it fell back, slipped back into the mix. Shechazal M'kayma. Even during the weekdays, you can trust him. Just ask him, and you can eat accordingly. He tells you, look, I'll tell you the truth. I already did the Trumas Maser. Why'd you buy? Okay, then we could just ignore the whole, delete the whole thing, and consider the whole thing to be kosher. And even during the weekdays, Rashi says, because on Shabbos, actually, it says that you can, if you get stuck with Dmai, you can ask him, and you can trust him. Mishum Kavod Shabbos. To enable you to have it on Shabbos, covered Shabbos, to eat the food on Shabbos. Tosfos adds from the Yerushalmi, he says, "V'pnei she'emas Shabbos, all of the fear of Shabbos, the awe of Shabbos, is upon the Am Haaretz. He won't lie on Shabbos." Imagine, Amolag Am Haaretz, he wouldn't lie on Shabbos. So that's basic. On Shabbos, certainly you can trust him. But here we're talking even on a regular Tuesday. But since it involves Hefset, the big Hefset here, big potential loss, so you can trust him. In any case, in these two cases, we adopt Rishim Shazuri's view, but not regarding the Ben Pekul running around. In that case, we're concerned about Maris Ayn, and Shechita is required. Let's do a quick Chazara. After today's daf, we discussed the full term Ben Pekul discovered inside the mother. After Shechita, according to some Shittas, it's a Makabal Tumah. Makabal Tumah, even though it's alive. We treat it like a piece of meat. And that corresponds with Beis Shammai regarding the fish right out of the water. It's also considered Oichel Mekabel Tumah. We had a shayla regarding fish which became a treifa, status of chelev within the unborn ubar. We had a chiddush according to Rabbanim. Although a full term Ben Pekul is covered by the mother shechita, but you have the option of doing shechita directly on the ubar if the mother shechita was not successful. For instance, it was a shechita of a treifa. Dalad simanim achsha berachmana. We have three shittas regarding the full term Ben Pekul, covered by the mother shechita or not. Rebbeir says not covered. Tanakhama says covered, provided it was not hifras al-gavei karka, it wasn't in the stand on the floor. Because in that case, it appears like a regular animal, and mid rabbanon you need shechita, whereas Rav Shim Shazuri says even if it's 5 years old, big husky bull running around, plowing the fields, shechita is not required. According to Abaye, all agree, if it's a strange phenomenon, a cullet, or a double strangeness, all agree, even Tanakama would be okay without Shechita, because people remember, they recall, this is something abnormal. There's no room for confusion. All the best to you, and that's Lachara.